Matthew chapter number 10 tonight. And we're going to take a look at four or five verses here. Matthew chapter number 10. Man, it's good to see you in the Lord's house tonight. The Lord has given us such good weather. I mean, I'm just enjoying the summer. You can't beat the summers. You just cannot beat the summers around here. They're just wonderful. And God's goodness is, we sometimes just take it for granted, don't we? But I thank the Lord for his goodness. I was able to drive out there to the where the teens are and drive back this afternoon. And man, it's just such a, we live in such a beautiful place. We really do. I thank the Lord for his goodness. And not just that, but all of the things that he's doing and the things that he's doing for us. We need to remember his goodness and be grateful. So tonight I'd like to have a short message and get to some extra prayer time, especially for the kids at camp. And so let's go through this real quick here. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. What a unique passage of Scripture here. When the Lord says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. There's a sister passage of that in Luke chapter 10, verse number 2. Just listen, because we'll be back to this passage of Scripture that's our text. But he says that, similar things there in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. First, he talks about the sheep in the midst of wolves, and then he says it's like lambs among wolves. Let's stop and pray, ask the Lord's blessings, and then we'll get into the thoughts tonight. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you'd help us to focus in on it. We need it. We need your guidance. We need your direction tonight. Lord, I thank you for your faithful people being here tonight. Lord, I pray that each one of us would be encouraged, would gain a blessing, would have direction from you from on high because of your word and what you want for us to know today. So, Lord, I pray that you just bless in all that's said and done here tonight. And we look to you and your interaction with our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In both of these texts, we hear the word picture that Jesus gives to believers as he's sending out believers with the authority of heaven to publish the gospel. And it's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what he has for us to do. And that is to get the gospel out to those who don't know, to those who are lost. But the nature of lost folks, especially when they hear things that they don't like or don't want to hear or don't want to go with, it's dangerous. When he says, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, or as lamb among wolves, man, you think of that. Think of that, what Jesus is saying here. It's quite the pitiful contest. Sheep among wolves. Wolves tear up sheep. I mean, they prey upon, I mean, they'll pounce upon sheep and no more sheep. Quite the pitiful contest. One would say that there's really no contest at all. A sheep against a wolf. Or wolves, plural, a pack of wolves. When sheep, or worse, lambs, are thrown into the arena with wolves, the wolves win. It's kind of like feeding mice to your pet snake. Anybody ever have a pet snake and you fed, you feed them live animals, right? Is it? Yeah, well, some people think, oh, that's terrible. Well, that's what they do. That's the nature of a snake. You know, he throws something in there and tries to get away and catches it, and it's, you know. When we were in Bible college, a couple of guys had bettas, fighting bettas, the fish, you know. And they're real pretty. They got these big, long. But the reason why they call it fighting bettas is you get two males in one bowl, and then they'll go at it. And we used to gather and, you know, just like Friday night fights. It's terrible. I mean, nobody ought to do that. That's cruel. That's terrible. But anyway, you know, that's kind of like when I'm thinking about lambs among wolves. Goodness. I've seen some animals fight for their young or for their own existence and lay out some pretty surprising results. Maybe a mother giraffe. I remember watching a documentary where lions went after this baby giraffe, and the mother giraffe was going to protect its young against all odds. And they had these lions that were, and the giraffe did in the lions. You know, and that was like surprising, you know. I've seen badgers against bears that would put bears to flight. Kind of surprising. Even mice against cats. That was surprising to see. I don't know if it was a rabid mouse or something, but anyway. When you think of wolves versus sheep or lambs, no contest. When wolves fight lambs, there's nothing but blood. I mean, it's a slaughter. It seems almost cruel for Jesus to ask his followers to be exposed to the enemy in such a way. That's what he said. I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And so he gives some advice. He says, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You're going to have to be in this situation because you're a believer and the wicked around you are like wolves. So he's talking about wolves, but the wicked around us, that's just the nature of the wicked. The nature of the wicked are such to where they're violent and they're selfish and destructive and cruel. They're not living for anybody else but themselves. They don't live by the golden rule. It's the believer that tries to live by God's rules and the golden rule, you know, do unto others. And there's some things that should characterize believers like a sheep. A sheep or a lamb doesn't have any defense. It's pretty much pure and should be the nature of the saved to be like the sheep. Righteous are to be harmless and kind and peace-loving. So a few things about this instruction. When Jesus says, I'm sending you forth as sheep among wolves, you got to understand, first of all, that Jesus is the one sending us in that situation. Jesus sends believers into trouble, into storms. Has the Lord ever sent his followers into a storm? Yes, absolutely. In Matthew 10:16, our text, behold, this is what Jesus is saying, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. This is not the only instance that the Lord plunges the believer into tribulation. Now, we think of tribulation or difficulty or whatever in a bad way, but the Lord has a totally different purpose for troubles, for storms, for difficulties. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And the word temptation here is not like putting something before you like a cherry pie if you're hungry and say you can't eat that. That's not the temptation he's talking about. He's talking about trials here, difficulties. We're in all kinds of manifold temptations, difficulties, trials, troubles, heartaches, griefs, things that we're facing that push us, that deprive us. And that's what he says. You're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Why? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Here, Peter is giving the example of a goldsmith. A goldsmith will take gold ore, you know, when gold is found in rocks or in sides of mountains or whatever. Sometimes there's nuggets and they're pure, but sometimes they're along with dirt and granite and whatever else in the rock. And there's some slivers of gold in there. So what the goldsmith will do, he'll take that iron ore, put it in a crucible, and put it in a furnace, and heat it up, and heat it, and heat it, and heat it, and heat it. And gold is heavier than the other elements around it. And so what will happen is the gold will go down to the bottom. And then after it cools, you know, he can take and he can remove the rocks and the dirt and the dross, whatever. And then the bottom has gold in it. But then he'll take and he'll put that in the furnace again. And he'll add that to the rest of the gold that he's working on and put it in the furnace again. And what happens is there's impurities in it. There's what they call dross in the gold. And the gold will again melt and go down to the bottom. Everything else will come up to the top, will float. And it'll be the dark stuff, the things that are not gold. And so he'll skim that off. And he's done, right? No, he puts it in the furnace again, heats it up again. And you know what? There's some more dross comes up to the top, and he'll skim it off. He'll keep on doing that, and he'll keep on doing that, and he'll keep on doing that to remove all the impurities out of the gold. They say that the goldsmith is done when he can take the gold and it's so pure and it's so without impurities that it will reflect his face in the crucible. When he can see himself, then it's pure. And that's what the Lord does. I don't know about you, but I don't like the fire. I don't like the furnace. I do not like the trials. Excuse me, I would rather not have trials. I would rather not go through difficulties. But the Lord sends us, and doesn't he say, if need be? That means you have to go through these. You want your faith to be purified, you have to go through the fire. You have to go through the trial. You have to go through the difficulty so that the dross can be removed. There's no other way to do that. You want pure gold, you want pure faith, you know, isn't that what it says? That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your faith is what God's after, and he wants to purify that. And you know how he gets that pure? Is through difficulty, through trouble, through trial. Seems like our faith is like the goldsmith's prize, increasing the flames and the heat till the dross is skimmed off the top. There was an instance here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Let me just read the story. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And the evening was come, and he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And you know the story there, and that's when Peter walked on the water there. Did Jesus know that there was going to be a storm that night? Oh, yeah, he knows everything, doesn't he? Did he know that when he put those disciples in that ship and told them, go? That's what it says. It says, he constrained his disciples, get into the ship, and to go. He said, go. He sent them into the storm. Why would he do that? Why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus send anybody into the storm? He does. Why would the Lord do that to me? Make me go through something like I've gone through or whatever. Why am I going through the trial that I'm going through? Why would the Lord do that to me? Well, Peter would have never got out of the boat and learned about his faith there if there was calm seas, you know. He'd never had the chance to do that. The storms are used to develop our faith. Just like the trial, it's trials that we're, you know, we go through, difficulties that we don't want to go through the trials. We don't want to go through the difficulties. We want our faith to be purified, don't we? We do want that, but we don't want trouble, you know? And, you know, if there was any other way for the Lord to get us to be purified, then I think he would do it that way, but there really is no other way. He tells you, and he tells me, I'm sending you in the midst of wolves. You're like sheep, and you're going to be attacked, you're going to be maligned, there's going to be violence against you and whatever. I'm sending you. I am putting you in that situation. Why would he do that? Somebody said that this world is not a perfect place, but it's a perfect place to raise Christians. And the Lord does that. He raises believers in this imperfect place. If you don't want to grow, if you don't want to improve or develop, then stay home. Don't take the job. But if you want to mature, if you want to win crowns, if you want to improve your faith, then get ready for the trials, because it's his will. He says in our text, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. I'm sending you into the pack of wolves. Goodness. Well, it's because there's some things that we learn, and then there's some stands that we take because of, you know, the situations that we're in and all that, and the Lord gets glory from it. And you know what? Whenever he's done getting glory, and if I'm improved, if I'm matured, then I turn around and say, thank you, Lord. You know, we're supposed to thank the Lord for all things. I've had a hard time thanking the Lord while I'm in the midst of the trial. I don't know about you. Maybe you're more spiritual than me. When I'm in the middle of it, I don't normally say, oh, this, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. I thank you so much for this. No. I mean, I'm going, Lord, get me out of this. But afterwards, if God's used that in my life to bring me closer to him, to do what his will is, afterwards, yeah. You know what? I can thank God today for some trials that I've gone through in the past. And while I'm going through those trials, I knew here I was supposed to thank the Lord for it, and I was willing to, and I could say thank you during those times. I didn't mean it. I'm just serious. I'm just being honest with you. And I didn't want to be disingenuous to the Lord to say, thank you, God. Because I wasn't thanking. I didn't have a grateful spirit during the trials. But today, I can look back and, no kidding, folks, truly, honestly, thank God for everything that I've ever experienced. Because some things have brought me closer to him. That the trial of your faith might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. How about that? So, number one, Jesus sends believers into storms. Number two, know the wolf. You know what he said? He says, I'm sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves. And then he says, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men. Now, he's telling us a little bit about the nature of the wolves or the wicked. For they will, and this is what he tells us about them, they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. And he discloses them. We're told to use wisdom in knowing the nature of these wolves or of men, not just animals. We're not talking about animals here. We're talking about people. So we're told to use wisdom. Be ye therefore wise. We're told to use wisdom in knowing the nature of men. And Jesus explains a little bit about what they're going to do and their actions. Folks, in witnessing to the lost, now that's our job is to share Christ with others. I mean, if it wasn't God's will for you to share Christ with others, then after you got saved, God should have just knocked you on the head and brought you up to heaven. You know, really. What are you here for? There's a lot of people that they've not ever found Christ. They've not ever found the things that I've found in the Lord. And I can help them. You know that? I can show them. I can show others the way. And so it's our job, and we know that. It's our job to witness to the lost. But in witnessing to the lost, what we're supposed to do is know their perspective. Know a little bit about the lost, about their love, about their aversion. You remember when, before you ever got saved, you didn't like going to church. It wasn't a good thing. It wasn't a pleasant thing. You were made to go, or maybe curious about it, but you didn't enjoy it. It was only after you got saved that the Word of God became that milk and that meat. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Whoa, it's so good. This is so good. Oh, it's so wonderful. And you know, you go to church and you get the things of the Lord, and it's a wonderful experience now. But when you were lost, you were just like the people you're trying to reach today. You know, and it's like putting a cat in a bathtub of water. You know, it's just, they don't want to go. They don't want to get in there. They don't want to be exposed to that. You know, it's just, but that's the nature of a lost person. Remember, it wasn't that long since you had your part in the world. Ephesians 2, verse 2, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He said, you were just like that. People that we're trying to reach, we were just, it is so hard for me to look at a lost person and remember that I was like that, that I was just like that. The other day I was pumping gas at Costco's, and this kid pulled up in a Suburban behind me, and he's pumping his gas, and he looked like me. He was a mess. I mean, he was a mess. He was a young guy, had long hair, looked really clueless. Me, that was me. You know, and I'm pumping gas there, and I'm looking at this kid, and I'm going, that, you know what? That was me. That was me. So I went, I got a track. I went up to him, and I said, you know, would you remind me of, you remind me of me about 40 years ago, you know? And he starts going, well, this is, you know, the car is my, you know, it's my car. Don't worry. I don't have a license. I know I don't have a license, but and he's spilling that stuff. And I'm going, listen, I'm not a narc. I don't want to take you to jail. Okay. I'm just telling you, you were me so many years ago, but something happened. I found Christ. Read this. Would you just read this? Best thing in the whole world ever happened to me. But that was me. That was me. But we forget. You know, we really do. We forget. There's a great verse in the Old Testament. It talks about the children of Israel when they were, before they came into land, and they got a home. They got a blessed home to be in and to stay in, and a place to call their own. It says in Exodus 23:9, also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. You remember when you didn't have a home, when you were slaves, when you were out of your element, you remember, hey, don't forget about that. And so therefore, you better be nice to the strangers around you because you were a stranger. You remember that? You remember that? Deuteronomy 10:19, love ye therefore the strangers, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. That was you. You know, when the wicked all around us that are doing hurtful things and they're being jerks like wicked people are, you know, and they're selfish and they're just like you. Just like I was. Don't forget about that. That's because that's their nature, you know. So what we're to do is we're to know the target, their disposition, their nature, their calamity. And by the way, that doesn't mean cater to the nature of the lost. They don't need more of what they have. You know, that's churches nowadays are putting out stuff, whatever the lost wants, let's just give them more of it in church. They already have that. Listen, they've got Hollywood, and they've got their excitement, and they've got the bars, and they've got everything else that's going for them. And you know what? They don't need more of that. That's not going to help them. You know what they need? They need the Lord. That's what they need. They don't need any more of that stuff. They need to see somebody who's different, not just like them, but somebody who loves them, but has a life that is different than theirs. And they could see the difference and say, what's with you? You're not the same, you know? So anyway, Jesus is sending us into the pack of wolves. He says, his words, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And then he says, know the wolf, be wise, because this is what they are, this is what they're going to do. And he tells them a little bit about them. And then the Lord says that, now I'm putting you in this situation, and yes, it's going to be hard, and yes, it's going to be difficult, and yes, you're probably going to get attacked, and yes, it's not going to be fun, and yes, you're going to be unjustly treated by the wolves around you, by the wolves around you, but know this, I'm going to be with you in the wolf pack. That's what he says, verse number 19 of our text, Matthew 10, 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. He says, I'm going to be with you. Don't worry about that. See, folks, we have special presence in his trials. Thank the Lord. We do. We have the times that we are hurting the most is the times we learn him the most. And the times that we have the greatest trial in our life is when you can sense him and you can and hear him and you can experience him. Daniel in the lion's den. You know, some preachers talk about Daniel. He probably just got a big old fluffy lion and, you know, got the mane and just laid right on it and just fell right asleep. I am not so sure. I don't know. I'm not so sure he did that. But when he was in the lion's den, you want to know something? I'll guarantee you he was closer to God there than any time in his life. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Hey, read the story. It says, wait a minute, we threw three in there. Looks like there's four now. And the other one looks like the Son of God. You know what? The Lord is with you in the trial, which is so cool. It is so neat. So is the trial worth it? I don't know, but hey, to get the Lord's presence, how about that? How about that? Stephen, the first martyr. Man, he stood for the Lord. He just, what a deacon. I mean, this guy deeked. He did, man. He just, I don't know what manual he read, but he you know, was going to just stand for the Lord. He preached a message just like Peter's, except there wasn't 3,000 got saved. 3,000 picked up stones. And they stoned him to death, and as they were stoning him to death, he looks up and he says, oh, whoa, whoa, hey, guys, look. I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne on high. We know Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We know that's his place in heaven. But he saw him standing. And doesn't say why. Don't know why. But I'm thinking it was because Stephen was an honored guest coming home. Jesus was welcoming Stephen for standing for him. And he had the presence of the Lord. I remember when Brother McCracken was here and he gave his story about what he went through. Boy, that meant a lot to me. That meant a lot to us to hear a guy that went through such difficulties and you know, even till this day. And to see, got a sweet spirit. And God used all of that to teach him and bring him closer. And you know, I'm thinking, man, there's a lot in my life that I don't want to, I seem to not want to use and not want to talk about. You know why? Because many of you are loved ones that hurt what I have gone through, my hurt. And I don't want to bring pain to anybody. And that's not the purpose, or that's not the reason to bring up trials. But you want to know something, folks? I look back in the times that I hurt the most, the times that God was the clearest, the best, the most amazing. The times that I needed something from God. I mean, needed something from God. And I'd break open the Bible and it was just right there. You know, it was just like God speaking to me. And, you know, I could say thank the Lord for my trials and difficulties that I've been through. The Lord has showed himself special in those times. Because I'm telling you something, folks, the Lord is especially with us in the wolf pack, in the difficulties, in the trials. There's saints that are in persecutions. There was this guy that was testifying a couple of years ago at the Home Missions Conference in Yakima. And I'd never heard about him, and he can hardly speak English, but he was there to testify. He said he was in the Russian gulag for something like 30 years, 35 years. And he has no fingers in one hand, and they're kind of like worn down in the other hand, and had frostbite. I mean, the conditions that they went through. And he was there, folks, because he preached. He just was a believer that preached, and they threw him, the communists threw him in the prison and locked the door, threw away the key. And he was in there for 20 years or 30 years, whatever it was. He hadn't even heard that his wife and family was alive for those years. Can you imagine? For 3 decades, not hearing about anything back home. And somehow it was a fluke. He got out and he goes home and his family is there and they're faithful to the Lord. His wife never got remarried and she was there and it was like, you know. Anyway, he gave this testimony at the Home Missions Conference and how that, he said, other Christians went through those similar things and they buckled. He says, but by God's grace, I never buckled. I never recanted. I never took back my faith. They said, all you have to do is just say, Jesus is nothing, and you can walk out of here. And for 30 years, he didn't. He stayed faithful, and he would give that testimony, afterwards, I saw him outside, and I can't speak Russian, and he can't hardly speak English. But I saw him, and I said, sir, let me hug you. I just hugged him. I said, thank you. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord. There's going to be rewards, folks, for saints that will have gone through difficulties, gone through trials, gone through the wolf pack and persecutions and whatever. There are some teens who this week, they're coming to decision and they know it's as real to them. And the decisions that are being made this week in the teenagers' lives will make the difference between their life going this way or going that way. And folks, that's why we need to pray. Because there are some teens that understand the cost. They understand what it's going to take to stand for Christ, to be what the Lord wants us to be, to have Jesus to say, okay, I want you to go into the midst of these wolves. Are you willing? And there's some saying, yes, I will. Yes, I will stand for you. Yes, I will take my stand. Yes, I will be that witness in my family or at my school. Or I will surrender to the mission field and whatever it is, wherever you want me to go, Lord, I'll go. And folks, it's not like in the United States everywhere, as we read in our missions letters, some of our missionaries can't even ask you to not communicate with them because the authorities will get word and then they're not supposed to be there and then they'll get in trouble or be kicked out of the country or go to jail or whatever. But folks, the ones who specially stand with Jesus, they specially learn the Lord. The Lord is with us in a special way when he sends us in the midst of the trials. Now tonight I'd like to take the rest of this night to pray, especially for, well, there's so much to pray about, but especially for the teens, as the services are going on right now, that the Lord would get a hold of hearts and maybe even start it with us, and then ask God to touch them. I on the way to Silverwood, I rode my motorcycle because I got to suffer for Jesus, you know. So anyway, I just had a wonderful time. But on the way there, my battery was going lower and lower and lower, and finally out. I'm there, couldn't get the thing started, and I've done that before. You know, it's been like, I don't know, it's got 60,000 miles on it, and I've done like four or five batteries. And, you know, one of the cells goes bad, whatever. So it goes worse and worse and worse. Anyway, so there I am. I'm stuck. And so I had to get a jump and everything else. So I finally got in and got the thing worked on. The next day, yesterday, I went to go get a battery in Goldendale. They didn't have it there. I had to go to the Dells. Anyway, I got back late for service, but I was there for service. As the service was going on inside, Dave and Connie Mayfield were outside as the service began. They were holding hands and they were praying for your teens, for our teens. And I saw what they were doing, and I know they've got a burden for the teens. You know that guy took his vacation? I mean, he doesn't work for the church. He is not on salary here. He works a secular job, and he only has so much vacation time. And he took his vacation to be there this week. And by the way, it's not a vacation for him. You know, I used to go to camp, and the worst, you get no sleep, and the trouble, and everything else, and the responsibility, everything. And somebody, you come back, and they say, "Hey, Pastor, how was your vacation?" You know what? No vacation. Anyway, but just giving unto the Lord, sacrificing. I mean, and it's his heart, it's their heart, and they're giving it all, and they're praying, and God is speaking, especially to hearts. Folks, what I'd like to do is I'd like to remember that tonight, and just especially uphold the spirit there, the services there, and ask God to touch the hearts of all of the young people. All right, so let's do that. Take the prayer list, and there's probably a lot of stuff that we have to pray for first that God speaks to us about, okay?